إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 9th session from the book which is known today as Al-Wasiyah As-Sughra. Al-Wasiyah As-Sughra, the concise legacy or advice, yani which was the answers of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to questions, 4 questions that came to him from Abu al-Qasim As-Sibti, rahimahullah. Tonight, our discussion will be the final points related to the first question, yani the question of advice that the Shaykh was asked, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was asked to advise me with that which will yani enable me to make my worldly life and my religious life to be upright, to be straight, to be correct. And he advised him from the ayat of the Quran with the wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the first and the last of humanity to observe taqwa of Allah. And he also mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Mu'adh that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. I need to observe taqwa in every situation or circumstance, and to follow up an evil deed with a good deed so that it will wipe it out. And finally he said, and treat the people with good character, yani with good manners, deal with the people in a good way. In this hadith we have been talking about the details of it, yani mostly yani dealing with taqwa and the meaning of taqwa, and what are good deeds that erase the evil deeds, and what are the other things that erase evil deeds like tawbah and istighfar, and yani things that we don't have any control of, such as being patient with calamities that befall us by the decree of Allah, and so on. We've been talking about those things yani in some detail, and tonight inshallah we want to finish the first question, or the answer to the first question, that is the thing that will enable a person to set aright their worldly affairs and their religious affairs, yani their deen and their dunya. And that is to observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we talked about it in detail and some of the different definitions that the scholars have given for a taqwa. And we mentioned yani the definition of Talq ibn Habib, which is a very yani one of the best and comprehensive definitions of a taqwa. And in brief, yani he said that it is to act upon obedience to Allah based upon a nur, a light from Allah, guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for the reward of Allah, and to avoid, to abandon disobedience to Allah based on a light from Allah, yani based on the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Sunnah, fearing the punishment of Allah. And this is a very good definition, and tonight inshallah we're going to read what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says about the meaning of a taqwa and how it relates yani to what we have been talking about so far. And then we're going to talk about al-ikhlas as it relates to a taqwa in this topic, and that will be the end of this. And inshallah in the next class we're going to talk about the second question, and that is the best of deeds that a person can do yani from voluntary deeds after fulfilling the obligatory deeds. What is the best thing that one can do, and what the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, how he's responding to that. Before we go into tonight's topic, we want to quickly look at yani review some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 8. The first question being discussed the two sides or the two angles, the janibain of the haqq of Allah, the right of Allah mentioned in the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. Yani what are the two angles or the two sides of the haqq of Allah that's mentioned in the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu? Na'am, Musa.
Haqqullah min amal salih.
Okay.
Wa islah al-fasad.
Al-fasid, yani the haqq of Allah includes yani the two angles of it is what? Amal al-salih, doing righteous deeds, and the other side of it is correcting or rectifying yani that which has been done wrong, mistakes, errors, sins, and so on. And this is based on what? It's based on which part of the hadith? Naam, Ibrahim.
right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wherever you may be, and
before that, before Khalik al-Nas, the first part of the hadith, the right of Allah. That's the second angle. Okay, the two angles are the two sides of the right of Allah. The hadith deal with the right of Allah and the rights of the people. The first part of the hadith deal with the rights of Allah, and it's from two angles. The first angle is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ittaqillah haythuma kunta." That's the first part, meaning do righteous deeds. Yani observe taqwa of Allah in every situation and circumstance. The second part of it, he said, وَعَتْبِ السَّيَّةِ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا, and follow up an evil deed with a good deed, it will remove it. That's the second angle of the right of Allah. Yani the right of Allah is that we do good deeds, and the second angle from the right of Allah is that when we fall short, we have to make up for it. We have to rectify it by what? By erasing the consequences of those evil deeds. And in this hadith, what is mentioned is the following up of evil deeds with good deeds. Because whoever does an evil deed, if they follow it with a good deed, it may wipe it out. It may remove it. And we also mentioned that the other means of removing the consequences of evil deeds is first and foremost a tawbah, and secondly istighfar, seeking forgiveness, even if the person didn't make tawbah. And then we said that there are other things that remove the consequences of sins. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned 10 of them. Yani, some of them are in this world, some of them are in the grave, and some of them in the hereafter. We're not going to discuss that in detail now. We did last week. The second question discussed the three areas mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, as jima' al-khuluq al-hasan, yani the sum total of good character. What are the three areas that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned? One of them, Naam, Abu Sa'id. Pardoning those who wronged you, yani, and ta'afuwa man zalamaka, yani somebody wronged you in reference to your blood, your wealth, or your honor. Pardon them, pardoning them. And I hope somebody went back and checked those ayats that I mentioned last week in the class. We didn't read them, but I referred to some ayats that yani are the foundation of what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is mentioning here. Even though it came from the hadith, but we mentioned some ayats from the Quran that confirm that it's from yani the characteristics of the people of taqwa and the people of ihsan. Yani the righteous servants of Allah is that they pardon, those who wrong them. Second aspect of it, Musa?
Join,
yani keep ties with those who have cut you off. Keep ties with the people who cut you off. Don't say, well, same to you. No, we keep ties even with those who have cut us off. And how do we keep ties with them? What are some of the ways? Visiting them,
honoring them,
making dua for them, giving salam to them, istighfar, seeking forgiveness for them, and so on. Did we miss something? Yeah. Huh? Praising them, speaking well of them. Okay, the third angle, or the third side of what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, somebody else, anybody in the back? Yani, pardoning those who have wronged you, yani, and what did we say? Yani, keeping ties with those who cut you off, and the third angle? Giving to those who withhold from you, yani, and tu'ati amen. Haramaka. Yani somebody denied you the khair, the good, the wealth or whatever, you don't act the same way. And we don't let other people's evil behavior dictate our behavior. Rather, the Muslim of good character is the one who does what's pleasing to Allah no matter what other people do. We don't let other people's behavior dictate our behavior. Because we are not hoping for the reward that Allah has for them for their bad behavior, right? We're hoping for the reward that Allah has for those who do good behavior. Naam. And again, and in fact, we sent out some notes today from the Tafsir Ibn Kathir, from some of the ayahs from Surah Al-Fussilat, where Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, talks about yani, this concept of pardoning those who, yani repelling evil with good, yani, idfa billati hi ahsan. Yani, some people do good evil to you, you don't do evil back to them. Now, the third question mentioned an example from the life of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, which illustrates this exemplary character. Naam, Ahmed.
At the time, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, one of his students came and gave him, supposedly he wanted to give him glad tidings that one of his enemies had passed away.
Naam.
And when he heard this news, he became angry with him. And he left him and he went to the family of the enemy, and he told Anna the mechanic
Naam.
In his place, and if you need anything, then request it from me, I'm in his place. So
Naam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, from amongst his enemies, from the worst of them, was a man who, yani, did everything he could to oppose him and fight against him, And when that man died, one of the students of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah came to him to give him the good news. He's dead. Your arch enemy. The number one enemy. Thinking that he was bringing good news to him, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah became angry with his student coming to him, telling him something like that. That this is good news, that a man has died. And he scolded him. And he went to that man's house and he told his family, yani, as he said, Anna Makano, yani, I'm in his place. And he just like whatever you needed from him, yani, the head of this house, you can take it from me. Whatever you're in need of, don't ask anybody except me. And this shows the character of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in implementing what he's talking about here. What the Prophet ﷺ taught us. The example of our Prophet Muhammad and the example of the Prophets السلام, before. Yani that they didn't let other people's behavior dictate to them. Rather, they always did that which is pleasing to Allah. So somebody withholds from you, don't withhold from them, give to them. If they wrong you, pardon them. If they cut off ties with you, and you try to keep ties with them. And there was also the example of when he came out of the prison, but for the sake of time. Number four, mention two steps necessary to attain this lofty level of character explained here. And a supporting delil from the sunnah. What are the two steps that's necessary, Abu Jamil? Diligence, what? And seeking the aid of Allah. Naam. And the evidence from the Quran? Evidence for it? Naam. نعم احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله. يعني the two steps that's necessary to attain this kind of this high level of character that is not easy to achieve. That somebody wrong you and you pardon them. Somebody withheld from you, give to them. They cut off ties or you keep ties with them. This is not easy to achieve. But the way to achieve it is diligence. يعني striving, seeking, earnestly seeking the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing that which is pleasing to Him. And seeking help from Allah in order to do it. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us in this instruction, احرص على ما ينفعك. Be eager and diligent in seeking that which benefits you. If something is good, go after it. احرص على ما ينفعك. واستعن بالله. And seek help from Allah. Ask Allah's help. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in that hadith, what? ولا تعجز. And don't be helpless, hopeless, like you can't do it. Don't feel you're incapable. If you go after something and make every effort to do it, after asking Allah's help, why would you feel incapable? And with the help of Allah, any whatever of good that a person wants to do, they're capable of doing it. Bi-idhnillah. Memorize an ayah from the Quran. And from the 31st surah, Surah Al-Luqman, 15th ayah, showing the obligation to be kind to parents, even if they are mushrikeen. Naam, Ibrahim.
وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ.
The first part of this ayah is the shahid that we're looking for here, right? Even if, meaning your parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here in this ayah, or is mentioned in this ayah, that even if your parents strive to make you to commit shirk, to force you to commit shirk, to worship something besides Allah, فَلَا تُطِعُهُمَا. Don't obey them in that. وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But nonetheless, keep good companionship with them. Be dutiful to them, kind to them, charitable to them, and so on, merciful to them, because those are your parents. And here, this is making us to know what? That this is the worst that a person could do to try to get you to commit shirk. And yet, in spite of that, there are some people who have rights over us. And there are others, and therefore it's obligatory for us to be kind and dutiful to them. And there are other people who may not have rights over us, but still it's good to do good and not to return evil for evil. Question number 6, mention Mujahid, rahimahullah's explanation of Al-Khuluq Al-Azim, with which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described. Naam, nobody in the back? Tayyib, Ahmed. Naam. Yani Mujahid said, in reference to what? This is his explanation of Al-Khuluq Al-Azim that's mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Qalam, 68th Surah, 4th Ayat. Allah said what? Again? Huh? Wa innaka لَعَلَى قُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you are upon a قُلُق عَظِيمٍ, a tremendous, magnificent, يعني خلق. What do we mean here by خلق? يعني مجاهد said, خلق عظيم means الدين. الدين. الجامع لي جميع ما أمر الله به مطلقا. يعني it's the deen that has within it, that collects within it, that is composed of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the people to do. So here al-khuluq al-azim, yani the meaning of it, it means the whole of the deen of Islam. Al-khuluq al-azim, yani it doesn't just mean, as some people imagine, good character means being respectful, speaking nice, smiling, and things like that. No, it means the whole of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all that He has commanded with. And so this is the explanation that al-mujahid, or mujahid, and one of the scholars of tafsir from amongst the tabi'in, rahimahullah, has given as an explanation of this ayat, that indeed you are upon a magnificent, yani high, lofty standard of character, meaning, yani you are upon the deen, and all of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with in this deen of Islam. Question number 7, memorize Aisha radiallahu anha's description of the noble character of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, Ibrahim. Yani, what was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They asked Aisha, and she said, "Naam."
فقرأت قد أفلح المؤمنون إلى لفروجهم حافظون. قالت هكذا كان خلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Yani, the core of it is what? That Aisha radiallahu anha, she referred him to the Quran, Surah Al-Mu'mineen, that mentioned some of the characteristics of the believers who would be successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يعني قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ يعني meaning that the believers, the people of Iman will be successful, but what characteristics? Yani in their salat, they have khushu', they give zakat, they, and so on and so on. And she said this was, yani the way of the character of the Prophet, but in summary, the words of Aisha, yani that we're looking for here is, كان خلقه القرآن. And his character was the Quran, meaning that what? That you don't find any command in the Quran, any prohibition, any act of worship, any act of obedience, any mu'amala, yani way of dealing with the people that Allah has given in the Quran, except that you find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam متصفاً بها, متحلياً بها. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described with it, and he is adorned with these characteristics that came in the Quran, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, yani to follow. Whatever came in the Quran of commands or prohibitions or acts of worship, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam followed it completely. Question number 8, how has Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah described the haqiqa, reality of this lofty character with which we have been commanded to treat other people? How has Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, described the reality of this lofty character, yani, that we have been commanded to treat the people with? How has he described it? What is the reality of this? Haqiqatuhu ماذا? Ma ahad al-mubadara na'am.
Joining that person.
And this is the description that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah gave, yani, as examples of the character of the Muslim, of good character. But the reality of it, he said, is al-mubadara. Al-mubadara ila imtithal ma yuhibbuhu Allah. Yani, that the person is hasty, eager, quickly, without hesitation, moving to what? To implement, to comply with that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, yani, he said, بِطِيب نَفْسٍ وَإِنْشِرَى صَدْرٍ. Yani, meaning that his nafs is pleased with this. Yani, he's joyous about doing it, about complying with the commands of Allah, doing what is pleasing to Allah. And his chest, his heart is open to it. He's willing. And a person does it with joy and happiness. And he being hasty to comply with that which, yani, is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while within yourself you are happy and joyous and pleased to be doing it without any hesitation or any resistance or bad feeling about it, that oh, I got to get up and pray. Got to fast. And he with an attitude. Fasting, but with an attitude. Praying, but with an attitude. This is not what we're talking about here. The reality of this good character, the lofty character of the Prophet ﷺ. And the final question discussed the rule concerning the related meanings of at-taqwa and husnul khuluq when mentioned together or separately. At-taqwa and husnul khuluq. What is the rule that we mentioned concerning these two words when they are mentioned together or separately? Naam, Musa.
At-taqwa and husnul khuluq, if they are mentioned separately, this means the whole deen.
If they are mentioned separately, like each one of them, if any one of them is mentioned by itself, it means the whole of the deen of Islam.
But if they are mentioned together, at-taqwa means the right of Allah and al-husnul khuluq means the right of the people.
But if they are mentioned together in the same breath, in the same sentence, two of these things together, then each one has its own meaning. Yani at-taqwa then is related to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and husnul khuluq, any good character, is related then in that case to the rights of the people. Does anybody memorize this rule in Arabic? إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ افْتَرَقَ وَإِذَا افْتَرَقَ اجْتَمَعَ. Yani, إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ means when they are mentioned together, then the افْتَرَقَ means they each have their separate meaning. إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ يعني, then they يعني, separate, meaning each one has its own meaning. If they are separate, then they come together, meaning they both يعني, can have the complete meaning of one another, of each other. Yani, the whole meaning of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a rule that some of the scholars mention in reference to other things. In reference to other things like Islam and Iman also. That when they come together, they mention together, each one will have their own meaning. But if they mention separate, Islam means Iman. And Iman means Islam, like this. Naam. Okay, tonight, inshallah, again, like I said, this is the last. Let me just mention where we're reading from. And if you're reading from the Arabic explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhahumullah, if you're reading from the Arabic explanation, we're going to be reading from page 38 to 41. From the top of page 38, the first line. If you're reading from the English translation, the small English translation, the original one, yani this one here, the concise legacy, the first translation of it. If you're reading from there, then we're going to be reading on page 14 and 15 under the meaning of taqwa and ikhlas, on page 14 and 15. If you're reading from the later translation, Dar es Salaam's edition, which is basically the same translation with some modifications and a lot of footnotes. If you're reading from Dar es Salaam's translation, then we're going to be reading from page 46 to 50, yani under tafsir of the word taqwa and ikhlas. Naam. Okay, so, yani, قَالَ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, yani, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, at this point he says, وَأَمَّا بَيَّانُ أَنَّ هَذَا كُلَّهُ فِي وَصِيَّةِ اللَّهِ. Yani, as far as the clarification that this, all of it, yani, that's mentioned in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, yani, that all of this that's mentioned in that hadith is contained within the wasiyah of Allah. Yani the wasiyah of Allah in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, yani when he said, he commanded the people who will be given the book before us and you, meaning the Muslims, to observe taqwa of Allah. That all of this is contained in this ayat, the wasiyah of Allah. فَهُوَ أَنَّ إِسْمُ التَّقْوَى, yani the clarification that the meaning of the hadith of Mu'adh is contained completely in this ayat of the Quran, the explanation of this, فَهُوَ أَنَّ إِسْمُ التَّقْوَى اللَّهِ يَجْمَعْ فِعْلَ كُلِّ مَا عَمَرَ اللَّهِ بِهِ إجابا واستحبابا وما نهى عنه تحريما وتنزيها. يعني the meaning, يعني the clarification of this is that this ayat, يعني the word, the name, the, يعني this expression تقوى الله combines within it the doing of everything that Allah سبحانه وتعالى has commanded with. يعني when we say تقوى الله, we mean that it includes within it, يعني the doing of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded with, ijaban wa istihbaban, meaning whether it's something that Allah has commanded us with as an obligation that's wajib, or something that's not an obligation but it's commendable, it's praiseworthy, it's mustahab. And everything that Allah has commanded with, whether it's obligatory or whether it's not obligatory but it's commendable and praiseworthy, whether it's wajib or mustahab. And likewise, it also includes everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. تحريما وتنزيها, whether it's something that's haram, outright forbidden, or something that is makruh, detestable. Whether that is that which is haram outright, or something that's detestable. It's not haram, but it's disliked by Allah, it's hated by Allah, it's detestable. All of this is included in the expression taqwallah. And this, therefore, this meaning, all of these things being included in it, يَجْمَعْ حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ وَحُقُوقَ الْعِبَادِ. So this combines within it the rights of Allah, and as well the rights of the people, the worshippers of Allah. And that's what's included in the meaning of the hadith of Mu'adh. Yani the rights of Allah in the first part of the hadith, تَقُوا اللَّهِ حَيْثَ مَا كُنْتَ وَعَدْ بِيَ السَّيَّةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. And the rights of the people, وَخَالِقُ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقْ حَسَنَ. And observe taqwa of Allah in every situation or circumstance, and follow up an evil deed with a good deed. And the second part, the rights of the people, is included in the meaning of what? Yani, treat the people with good character, with good manners. So all of this is included in this expression, in the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ayat in Surah An-Nisa, yani to observe taqwa of Allah. Lakin, and here, yani if you're reading from the translation, if you're looking at the text of the translation, the way it has been translated here is really not clear. Rather, it gives a different meaning that is not really intended here. Alright, so, yani, if you hear me saying something different than what you're reading, that's because the translation is not accurate. On this point, it's not accurate, okay? What it should say is that all of this is included in the expression taqwallah. لكن لما كان ترة يعنى بالتقوى خشية العذاب المقتدية بالانكفاف عن المحارم جاء مفسرا في الحديث. جاء مفسرا في حديث معاذ وكذلك في حديث أبي هريرة, and so on to the end of what he said. يعني all of this is included in the expression تقوى الله. However, لما كانت تارة يعني بالتقوى خشية العذاب. يعني when we accept this fact, that when we know that sometimes the word تقوى, what is intended by it is fearing the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which necessitates, which requires, which compels a person to abstain from the prohibited things. This is, yani, what is sometimes intended by the meaning of the word taqwa. Yani, to protect yourself from the punishment of Allah by abstaining from what Allah has prohibited. This is one of the intended meanings of a taqwa. So when we know that sometimes when the word taqwa is mentioned, this is what is intended by it, therefore, in the hadith of Mu'adh, the meaning of taqwa came mufassiran, yani with a clarification that is not just limited to avoiding the prohibited things. It's not just limited to avoiding the prohibited things. Rather, it also includes the doing of good deeds, yani specifically here mentioned under al-khuluq al-hasan, yani good character, or khuluq al-hasanin. Yani since sometimes the meaning of a taqwa, what is intended by it is abstaining from the prohibited things, yani taqwa of Allah means fear Allah's punishment, so abstaining from the haram. Since that is what is intended by it, sometimes, yani the Prophet ﷺ in his advice to Mu'adh brought clarification that is not limited to that, but rather it also includes, yani the doing of good deeds. And this also, this clarification also came in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. May Allah be pleased with both of them, that is Mu'adh and Abu Hurairah. الَّذِي رَوَهُ التِّرْمِذِي وَصَحَّحَهُ. And this meaning, this clarification of taqwa, that is not just limited to the meaning of fear Allah, yani avoid the prohibited things so that you protect yourself from the punishment of Allah, but rather it includes more than that. It includes the whole of the deen, and this clarification, same clarification as in the hadith of Mu'adh, came in the hadith of Abu Hurairah that's reported by At-Tirmidhi, who said that it's authentic. In that narration it says, قِلَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَا أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلَ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةِ. Yani, O Messenger of Allah, what is the thing that, yani, more than anything else, is the cause of people entering the paradise? And the Prophet ﷺ said, taqwa Allah wa husnul khuluq. Yani, observing taqwa of Allah, and also observing good character. Taqwa of Allah and good character. He mentioned both of them. And then it was said, what is the thing that mostly is the cause of people entering the hellfire? And he said, Al-ajwafan, al-fam wal-farj. Yani, the two openings, that is the mouth and the private parts. The mouth and the private parts. These are the two greatest causes of people entering the hellfire. Yani, not controlling what they're saying out of their mouth. People just speak recklessly. And not controlling their sexual desires. And in the Sahih, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُمَا. And in that which is authentic from Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا. يعني the most perfect of the believers in Iman, the most perfect of the believers in reference to Iman, is the best of them in character. And this hadith is very important, and we're going to discuss it a little bit, but let me just make a note that the hadith is really clear if a person thinks about it. أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا, the most perfect of the believers in Iman. And the hadith is talking about Iman. The most perfect of the believers in Iman are the best of them in character. Meaning that a person has Iman and another person has Iman. They both have Iman. They are not kafirs. They are not mushriks. They have Iman. The better of them is the one whose Iman is completed. With not just believing in Allah and the angels and the books, and what Allah has revealed, but by acting upon the good character that Islam requires of us. The most perfect of the believers in Iman is the one whose Iman is completed by being best in character. Not that having good character is sufficient. Khalas, that's having good character is the most important thing. Therefore, don't have to worry about anything else. Even if you don't pray, you don't fast, whatever, just good character. That's nonsense. Rather, good character is part of the completion of Iman. That's part of the deen of Allah, good character. Some people think they believe in Allah, they believe in the angels, they believe in the Prophet, and all of that, they profess it, and they say it's in their heart, but then their character is horrible. How so? How so? No, we also have to have good character, and that good character is the whole of the deen of Allah, and in some cases we mean by that, yani, in your dealings with the people. So here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, this hadith, in it, فَجَعْلَ كَمَالَ الْإِيمَانِ فِي كَمَالَ حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. Yani the completion and perfection of the Iman that you have is completed and perfected by good character. By good character. وَمَعْلُومٌ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ كُلَّهُ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. And it is well known that Iman, the whole of it, is taqwa of Allah. Yani Iman is taqwa. And Shaykh Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah wrote a book called Yani taqwa is the source of all good. Taqwa is the source of all good. It was a class that we did here in the Fajr time a couple of years ago. Taqwa is, if you can find that book by Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, taqwa is the source of all good. He talks about it in there about what? That taqwa, that iman, that birr, that ihsan, all of these words mean the same thing. Even though each of them has their own meaning, but in general, if they're used yani in the absolute sense, then they have the same meaning, the whole of Islam. It is known that Iman, the whole of it is the taqwa of Allah. And the details of the fundamentals of taqwa and the branches of taqwa, going into the details of this, لا يحتمله هذا المعضية. Yani in this place, in this answer, where the questioner asks Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to be brief. Yani don't give me a lot of detail, just get to the point. I want the summary of the answer. He said this is not the place for those details. فَإِنَّهَا الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ. Because indeed the fundamentals of taqwa and the branches of taqwa, it is the deen, the whole of the deen. Taqwa is the whole of the deen. If you explain the fundamentals of taqwa and the branches of taqwa, then you have to explain the whole of Islam. لكن ينبو الخير وأصله إخلاص العبد لربه إبادة واستعانة كما في قوله تعالى إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. However, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, يَنْبُ الْخَيْرُ وَأَصْلُهُ. Yani the source or the well, yani the spring that the water comes from. The source of al-khayr and the foundation, the asl of all khayr, he said it is ikhlas of the abd for his Rabb. Ibadatan wa isti'anatan. In terms of worship, and in terms of seeking help or aid or assistance in any matter. Yani this is the yambu, the source of all khair. It is the asul, the foundation of all khair. That is, that the worshipper makes everything sincerely for Allah alone. His worship, in every good act of worship that he does, and as well, his seeking assistance in every matter should be exclusively from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this is as mentioned in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Yani you alone do we worship, all worship for Allah alone, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone do we seek help assistance or aid from. And likewise, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ, yani worship Him and put your trust and reliance upon Him. Yani worship Allah, and whatever you need, trust in Allah, rely upon Allah. And in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ, and the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that يعني عليه توكلت, that it is upon Allah alone that we trust and depend, وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ, and we turn to Him, يعني in obedience, يعني alone, to worship of Allah alone. And the saying of Allah, فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ وَعْبُدُوهُ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ, يعني seek, فَابْتَغُوا, seek from Allah your rizq, يعني ask Allah for your sustenance, for your provisions, and worship Him and be thankful to Him alone. And this is such that بِحَيْثُ يَقْتَعَ الْعَبْدُ تَعَلُّقُ قَلْبِهِ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ انْتِفَاعًا بِهِمْ أَوْ عَمَلًا لِأَجْلِهِمْ, يعني in order to do this, it requires that the person what? يَقْتَعَ, that the person cuts off the connection of his heart to the created beings. يعني don't allow your heart to be connected to the created beings in terms of benefiting from them, or in terms of doing things for their sake, for the pleasure of the people. Rather, يَجْعَلْ هَمَّتَهُ رَبَّهُ تَعَالَى, rather you make, yani your main concern, your only concern, your resolve is only to do things for the pleasure of your Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is done by sticking to مُلَازِمَةِ الدُّعَاءِ لَهُ فِي كُلِّ مَتْلُوبِ من فاكة وحاجة ومخافة وغير ذلك والعمل له بكل محبوب. And this is done by what? A person adhering and sticking to supplicating Allah في كل مطلوب, in everything that is required. Whether it is من فاقة, يعني whether it is that a person is indigent, يعني doesn't have any finance, any means, or حاجة, or any need other than that, that a person may have, or مخافة, or some fear that a person may have, something or someone, or other than that. Whatever you are requesting, whether it's finance or other needs or fear, protection or whatever, you should request it from Allah alone. And you should act, al-amal lahu bi kulli mahbub, everything that you do that is beloved, that is good, then you should do it for Him, yani for Allah alone. And finally, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, وَمَنْ أَحْكَمَ هَذَا فَلَا يُمْكَنْ, and this sentence is also translated erroneously, completely erroneously. And the translation of this last sentence of this paragraph is completely wrong. يعني وَمَنْ أَحْكَمَ هَذَا فَلَا يُمْكِنُ أَنْ يُوصَفَ مَا يَعْقُبُهُ ذَلِكَ. وَمَنْ أَحْكَمَ هَذَا, يعني this meaning of taqwa that is given here, whoever fortifies themselves and yani acts upon it, yani does it, yani conforms to what is required here thoroughly and completely, whoever does this, then it is not possible to describe مَا يَعَقُبُهُ ذَلِكَ, yani what doing this, what it will bring about, yani what will follow, what will be the results, what will be the benefits if a person does this. It's not possible to describe it, because unlimited khayr will come to a person if they actually adhere to this, meaning that if they do every good deed for Allah alone, and if they request every need that they have from Allah alone, it's not possible to describe what good will come to you. And if any person is capable of doing this, then they will see instantly the results. Capable meaning, whoever is willing to do it, to worship Allah alone, they will immediately see the results. To rely upon Allah alone, they will immediately see the results. Instead of relying on the people, and asking the people, and depending on the people, and complaining to the people when they don't give you what you need or what you want. Put your trust in Allah alone. Rely upon Allah alone. Ask from Allah alone. And worship Allah alone. Everything you do, do it for Allah alone. Not to please the people, because they have some benefit that they can offer to you. Rather, Allah owns everything in the heavens and the earth. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his explanation he says, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, the clarification of this expression, يعني بَيَانُ أَنَّ هَذَا كُلُّهُ فِي وَصِيَّةِ اللَّهِ, the clarification that all of this that's mentioned in the hadith of Mu'adh is contained in the يعني command or the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to observe taqwa. He said, this means, يعني what has been mentioned in the hadith of Mu'adh رضي الله عنه وأرضاه, It means what has been mentioned in the hadith of Mu'adh is contained in this ayat. And it has previously been mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah when he mentioned the wasiyah of the Prophet والسلام, to Mu'adh in the beginning of the book, when he mentioned the ayat, the wasiyah of Allah, and the wasiyah of the Prophet to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned it, Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah at that time, at the end of that hadith, khatam al-hadith anhu biqawlihi, هذا يبين لنا أنها وصية جامعة وأنها تفسير الوصية القرآنية. يعني he said at that time, after the mention of the hadith, he said this makes clear to us that this is a comprehensive wasiyah. يعني the wasiyah of the Prophet to Mu'adh that is comprehensive. And he said also, it also makes clear to us that it is a tafsir, an explanation of the Quranic wasiyah, yani the wasiyah of Allah in the Surah An-Nisa. Then he began to explain what he means by that, and he explained the clarification of how it's comprehensive, and he mentioned, yani it's comprehensive in that what? That it covers the rights of Allah and the rights of the human beings. All of that is contained in this hadith, and that it also takes into account that the human being will fall short to some extent and that they should make up for that, and he mentioned the ways that you can make it up. And that's what we have been discussing up until now. And he says, now he's saying, وَأَمَّا بَيَنْ قَوْنُهَا أَنَّ بَيَانَ أَنَّ هَذَا كُلُّهُ فِي وَصِيَةِ اللَّهِ يعني as far the clarification of the second part of what he mentioned in the beginning of the book, that all of this is contained in the ayat where Allah advised the people to observe taqwa of him. يعني this was mentioned in the beginning of the book, and then he mentions the ayat, لَقَدَ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Yani that we have commanded those who were given the book before you and you, meaning the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to observe taqwa of Allah, this ayat. He said, here a person might ask, how does this ayat contain, yani collect within it, this detailed meaning that's contained in the advice of the Prophet to Mu'adh, while good character has not been mentioned in this ayat? How is it contained in this ayat, good character, and that which good character entails? Said here, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah makes clear the deep meanings which we might be heedless of. We might be inattentive to. Yani nughfalu anha. That people are not paying attention to the deep meanings of this taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned in this ayat that He has commanded the people who were given the book before and you to observe taqwa of Allah, yani this word, and ittaqullah, He said, hadha ma'na amikun. Yani in the transcript of the book, it says, فَمَعْنَا عَمِيكٌ. It should say, هَذَا مَعْنَا عَمِيكٌ وَاسِعٌ يَشْمَلُ أُمُورٌ عَظِيمَةً جِدًّا يَحْتَاجُ أَنْ يَتَحَلَّ بِهَا الْإِنسَانِ حَتَّى يَكُونُ مِنْ أَهْلِ التَّقْوَى. Yani, this meaning of observing the taqwa of Allah is a very deep meaning that includes many tremendous affairs that a person is in need to adorn themselves with so that they may become from the people of taqwa. Yani a person has to understand the meaning of taqwa and its meanings and then adorn themselves with it, meaning, yani characterize themselves with these meanings, meaning observe these things in their life so that they will really become of the ahlu taqwa. Yani not just we are the Muslims, the people of sunnah, so we are the ahlu taqwa. We are the muttaqoon. No, it's not like that. Rather, a person has to characterize yourself, has to implement, has to comply with, have to live by the great meanings that are contained in this expression, observing the taqwa of Allah. Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, it's not just a word that a person says on their tongue. It's not just a claim that a person claims. Rather, it has a reality and it has a very deep meaning. And here, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah began to explain, yani how this, all of these meanings are contained in this expression, yani in this ayat of the Quran. He says, as far as the clarification, that all of this is contained in the wasiyah of Allah, yani in this ayat of the Quran, yani that which came in the hadith of Mu'adh is present in this ayat, in the wasiyah of Allah, that he, yani advised the first of the people and the last of the people to observe taqwa of Allah. It is that this ism, yani taqwa Allah, this expression, which came in the ayat, it combines within it the doing, as we read in the beginning of the class, the doing of everything that Allah has commanded us with, whether it is of the obligatory duties or the mustahab, commendable, recommended duties. and everything that Allah has prohibited, whether it is from the haram, prohibited things, or the makruh, disliked things. All of this is included in the word taqwa, and therefore it includes within it the rights of Allah and the rights of the ibad, the people. Therefore, the saying of Allah, observe taqwa of Allah. And here there's a mistake again in the transcript. It says, يعني إذن قول الله تعالى أن اتقوا الله بإطلاقه. It says ومفهومه. That's actually a mistake. It should say بإطلاقه وعمومه. وعمومه بإطلاقه وعمومه يتناول ما جاء في حديث معاذ خلق الناس بخلق حسن. يعني that this expression observe taqwa of Allah بإطلاقه وعمومه, يعني if it is used in the absolute sense or the general meaning of taqwa of Allah, it includes, it entails, it encompasses everything that came in the hadith of Mu'adh, including deal with the people with good character. And this is because dealing with the people with good character is from the things that Allah has commanded the people with in His book, and is from the things that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded the people with in the Sunnah. And therefore, so it includes all of this. However, since sometimes people mean by taqwa fearing the punishment of Allah, which necessitates or compels a person to avoid the prohibited thing, since that's the meaning that people sometimes intend by the word taqwa, so therefore in the hadith of Mu'adh, the word, the expression taqwa came explained, mufassiran, meaning that sometimes the word taqwa has the meaning of just fearing the punishment of Allah, avoiding the prohibited things in order to avoid the punishment of Allah. That is, to place something between yourself, a wiqaya, protection, some type of shield or protective thing that will protect you from the punishment of Allah. And that protective thing, it is what? To abandon, to leave off what He has prohibited. This will protect you and this will keep you distance from, leaving off the prohibited things and distancing yourself from the prohibited things. This will be the thing that will protect you from the punishment of Allah. Since this is the meaning, that came for taqwa sometimes, so in the hadith of Mu'adh, along with taqwa is the mention of husnul khuluq, to show that it doesn't just mean avoid the prohibited things, but it also means doing good deeds. And therefore you find, in the different ayats of the Qur'an, the mention of taqwa along with something else sometimes. And an example of this is the mention of taqwa along with al-birr. Birr means like righteousness, or good, or all kinds of good. Sometimes you find in one ayah the mention of taqwa and al-birr. And the Shaykh said, as in the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, the ayah of al-birr. And he means, the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 177. And it's a long ayah. And if you read that ayah, second chapter, 177th ayah, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Laysat al-birr, wa? أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. And he goes on to say what? The bir is not just turning your face in a certain direction to the east or the west, but bir is what? To believe in Allah in the last day and the angels and the books and the prophets. And it is also to spend wealth on the those who are near, relatives, the orphans, and so on. And he said it also means what? To perform the salat and to pay the zakat. And it also means what? To fulfill contracts that you make with people, to keep your word. And it also means what? Being patient in sickness and poverty and in time of war. It means all of this. And in the end of the ayat, talking about al-birr, what birr is, in the end of the ayat it said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Those who do all of these things, this kind of birr, they are those who have been truthful in speech and in action. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. That these are the people of taqwa. The ayah begins talking about birr and explaining what is birr, and then Allah says, these are the people who have taqwa. Anyway, you have to look at this ayah to see what the Shaykh is saying here. He's saying that sometimes these words come together, sometimes they're separate, their meanings are interchangeable. At-taqwa, al-birr, al-iman, al-ihsan, and so on. He said, and sometimes the taqwa is also mentioned with other ideas, with other things. Other meanings are also mentioned along with it. So when taqwa is mentioned with other than it, then taqwa is directed, its meaning is directed at avoiding, abandoning the prohibited things. And that which is mentioned along with it, yani what is intended by it, is the doing of the yani obligatory things, or the things that we have been commanded with. Meaning when taqwa is mentioned with something else, then taqwa means avoiding the prohibited things, and the other yani thing that's mentioned with it will mean fulfilling the obligatory things. So like in this case, al-birr and taqwa, if they were mentioned together, then we will say that birr means doing good deeds and taqwa means avoiding the prohibited things. Otherwise, if they're mentioned separately, then each of them includes the whole of the matter. Here, yani he said, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, so in the hadith of Mu'adh came the clarification of the comprehensive meaning of taqwa came, and likewise in the hadith of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with both of them, yani Mu'adh and Abu Huraira, in the hadith is reported by al-Tirmidhi, and he said that it's sahih, and we mentioned it earlier, that it was asked of the Prophet, what is the thing that mostly is the reason for people to enter the paradise? And he said, it is observing of taqwa of Allah and having good character. And these two things were mentioned in the wasiyah, yani, of the Prophet to Mu'adh, yani, radiallahu anhu, that is, observing taqwa of Allah and good character. This is also mentioned in the hadith of Abu Hurairah. And when it was said, what is the thing that mostly caused people to enter the hellfire? He said, the two openings, that is the mouth and the private parts. Yani, this is these two things are the things that cause most people to enter the hellfire. Yani, it's the main sabab, the cause of people entering the fire. Yani, the private parts which are, yani, unguarded, and the tongue which is out of control. It has also come, yani, there has also come in the hadith sahih that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani, that which has a similar meaning. He said that whoever will guarantee to me what is between his jaws and between his thighs, I will guarantee for him Jannah. Yani, that he will enter the Jannah. Meaning that whoever will protect his tongue and protect his private parts, then he has the guarantee of entering Jannah. And whoever, yani, engages in the haram with his tongue or with his private parts, then he subjects himself to punishment. Yani, he puts himself in a position to earn the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, yani, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, وَفِي الصَّحِيِّ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, yani, in the sahih, on the authority of Abdul ibn Umar, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most perfect of the believers in iman is the best of them in character. And the Shaykh says here, his saying, the saying of Ibn Taymiyyah, fi sahih, the meaning of this expression, he means by it, al-hadith al-sahih. Yani, he means by it, in the authentic hadith, in an authentic hadith that's authentic. And the reason why he's saying this is because the Ahlul Ilm, rahimahullah, the scholars, yani, when they use this expression, yani, fi sahih, sometimes they mean that it's in Bukhari or it's in Muslim. Yani, in one of these two books that, yani, had the condition of only narrating that which is authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes when they say fi sahih, they mean it's in Bukhari or Muslim. But sometimes when they say fi sahih, they mean just that it is an authentic hadith, even if it's not in Bukhari or Muslim. And that meaning is the meaning that's intended here. This hadith is not in Bukhari or Muslim. Rather, it is a hadith that's sahih, it's in At-Tirmidhi. So, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, in the sahih from Abdul ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the most complete and perfect of the believers in terms of their iman is the one who is best in character. So he has made the perfection of iman, yani, how is iman completed and perfected? Then it must also include good character. It must also include good character. And here, the Shaykh says, notice the meaning which Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is trying to bring out here. Yani, notice the meaning that he's trying to bring out here. That not that good character is what is most important. Rather, good character only completes that which is already present of iman. It completes it. Not that we don't have to worry about iman, about ibadah, about, no, we just have good character. No, that's not. What he's trying to bring out the point that good character completes iman. Yani, you have iman, and you also have to, you must have along with it, good character. And we have to pay attention to this so that we will see the terrible, horrible mistake of those who have some people have fallen into by their evil understanding of al-akhlaq. Yani, some of the people, they have a bad understanding of akhlaq, and they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the best, the most complete of the believers in iman is the best of them in character. And they said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it has been sent to establish, yani, noble character or righteous character, and they say, they understand this to mean al-muhim fi al-din al-khuluq, Yani the important thing in deen is just having good character. They say this is what it means. Yani what's important, as long as you're truthful and you're nice to people, and even if you don't pray and make, yani you don't fast in Ramadan, doesn't matter. What's important is good character. Some of the people have this evil understanding, and some of them use it in the place where they are trying to make little, yani of little importance, minimize the importance of a tawheed, and studying tawheed, and teaching tawheed, and understanding tawheed. Some of them say, what? The Prophet ﷺ said that I have been sent to establish good character. Yani meaning, don't worry about all this tawheed. Don't worry about all this tawheed. That's not important. What's important is, have good character. So he said, here I will repeat what I have mentioned previously, so that we will see the mistake of these people. Where is the good character with those people who make shirk with Allah, who set up something as a partner or an equal with Allah, who call upon other than Allah, who seek help from other than Allah, who raise their hands and ask for help from other than Allah, and they say, oh so and so, give me help, meaning Ya Jilani, or Ya, I don't know, whoever, these people that they call upon in the graves. He said, where is the good character of the person who is calling on other than Allah? There's no good character for the people who are performing these acts. The Rabbul Alameen has created this person, has provided for this person, has given this person good health and well-being and wealth. And Allah, the Lord of the world, said, call upon me and I will answer you. And then that person raised their hands and said, oh so-and-so, help me, other than Allah. What kind of good character is this? Where is the good character when this person is seeking refuge by calling upon in their dua and in their worship and in their asking and their requesting from other than Allah? Where is the good character of the person who is turning towards the graves, people who are dead in the graves, those who can't even help their own selves bringing any benefit or any harm, and then they are crying at the grave and they are asking for their needs and they are making their request to the people in the graves? Where is good character in such a person? But they claim the Prophet ﷺ was merely sent to establish good character. Don't worry about the other stuff. Rather, good character is in the worship of Allah, in submission to Allah, yani in humbly surrendering your nafs and your qalb, yani your heart and your soul, in obedience to Allah for the worship of Allah. And along with that, yani having good character in your dealing with the people. Now, along with that, but first and foremost, worshiping Allah, obedience to Allah. And it is well known, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, that al-Iman kulluhu taqwallah, that Iman in its entirety is really observing taqwa of Allah. So the taqwa has entered into his saying, the most complete and perfect of the believers in Iman is the best of them in character. Taqwa is entered into this. For indeed, from the great and magnificent character, yani, is observing taqwa of Allah. This is in reference to the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Yani part of this khuluq azim, this magnificent character, it is observing taqwa of Allah. And part of this magnificent character is making the deen purely for Allah alone. Yani ikhlas. And this is how, yani these hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be understood. Yani far removed from this mistaken understanding that's from the leaders of deviation and the leaders of misguidance in their beliefs and other than that. These people, yani, they understand these hadith in other than the way that they intended, in other than their apparent real meaning. And here Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, and the explanation of the fundamentals of taqwa, the explanation of the fundamentals of taqwa and the branches of taqwa, yani this particular, on this occasion, this writing, yani is not possible to convey all of that. Yani meaning that this matter requires, again here, yani if you follow in Arabic, yani an al-amr yahtaj ila bastin, it says bastin qawi wa bayan wasi wa lakin al-mawdi' wa khasatan, yani this line here is also a mistake here. It says yani an al-amr yahtaj ila bastin طويل, not قوي, وبيان واسع. Yani that this matter of the explanation of the fundamentals, the foundations and the branches of taqwa require a long drawn out explanation and a vast clarification. But this is not the occasion for that, especially since the one who asked the question, yani Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti, rahimahullah, he said in his question to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to answer this question, ala sabil al-ima wal-ikhtisar. Yani be brief and just give us yani the hint of the matter, not going, because you know the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, when he starts writing, he's going to write volumes. So he said, yani be brief, get to the point, yani don't stretch out. Yani he means, he just wants him to give an ishara, yani just point to the matter, yani give us some signs or indications. He does not want detailed explanation. So this is not the place for the detailed explanation, for indeed, this detailed explanation of taqwa, it is the whole of the deen. Yani a taqwa is the whole of the deen. But what he will say, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying here, walakin, what I will tell you, without going into that detail, the yambu of al-khayr, wa asluhu ikhlas al-abd li rabbihi ibadatan wa isti'anatan. And this is a critical statement here, and this is near the end of what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah presents concerning this topic. Yani here he goes from taqwa to ikhlas. And just as taqwa is of the utmost importance, no less important is this topic of ikhlas. And even though he doesn't go into a lot of detail, this is the topic that we need to spend. Yani we need to read a book about ikhlas alone. Okay? He said, the yambur, the source, the well, the spring of al-khayr, and the foundation, asluhu, of all khayr, it is that the abd, the worshipper of Allah, makes everything his worship and his seeking help in any affair, he makes it purely for Allah alone. Every worship is for Allah alone. And whoever is in need of anything, they should seek help from Allah alone. And this is as mentioned in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that Allah, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. Yani meaning that the person is declaring, yani we are declaring in our salat every day in every rak'ah of every prayer, we're saying to Allah that you alone we want to worship. That's my intention. That's what's in my heart. But I can't do it without your help. So you alone also I'm seeking help from. You alone also I'm seeking help from. Many, every time you declare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I'm going to worship you alone, you better keep in mind, be conscious that you will never be successful in doing so without help from Allah. That's why Allah has made it like that for us to say it like this. But sometimes we're not conscious of what we're saying. Yani we're saying, oh Allah, I intend to worship you alone, but I know I can't do it without your help. So I'm going to ask help from you alone. Because Allah is the only one who gives you success in doing good. It's only from Allah. So when we recite Al-Fatiha in every rak'ah of every prayer, let us keep in mind that we're saying, oh Allah, we're going to worship you alone, but and we can't do it unless you help us. So we're seeking help from you alone. And in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَعْبُدُهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ, worship Him alone and rely upon Him alone. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhi tawakkaltu wa ilayhi unib, that you alone do we put our trust in and rely upon and depend upon, and to you alone we turn in obedience, yani in submission. And in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fabtaghu indallahi rizq, yani seek your sustenance, your provisions from Allah alone. Wa'abuduhu, and worship Him alone. Washkuru lahu, and be thankful to Him alone. Fajima' al khayr fi hadaini al amraini, yani the Shaykh. So he says here, right? فَجِمَاعَ الْخَيْرِ فِي هَذَيْنِ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. So the thing that gathers together the whole of all khair is in these two affairs. And يُخْلِصَ الْعِبَادُ لِلَّهِ, yani that you make the worship for Allah alone, ikhlas in worship for Allah alone, وَيُخْلِصَ الْإِسْتِعَانَ بِهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى, and that you also make your seeking of help or aid or assistance from Allah alone. فَيَعْبُدُهُ وَلَا يَعْبُدُ غَيْرَهُ. So he worships Allah and he doesn't worship anyone besides Him. And he doesn't worship Allah and someone else. But he worships Allah and he doesn't worship anyone besides Him. وَيَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى وَلَا يَسْتَعِينُ بِغَيْرِهِ. And he seeks help from Allah the Blessed and the Most High, and he does not seek help from other than Him. وَيُوَدُّهُ ذَلِكَ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ فَيَقُولُ. And here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ makes clear how this is done. فَيَقُولُ بِحَيْثُ يَقْتَعَ الْعَبْدُ تَعَلُّقَ قَلْبِهِ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ انْتِفَاعًا بِهِمْ عَوَامًا لِأَجْلِهِمْ. So that the person has to do what? He has to cut off the connection of his heart to the created beings. Huh? Yani your heart cannot be connected to the created beings. انْتِفَاعًا, meaning that you are trying to benefit from them. They have some benefit. The benefit, all the khayr is with Allah alone. Allah is the one who controls everything in the heavens and the earth. Nobody else can benefit you in any way. As the Prophet ﷺ said in one of the hadith, if all of the people from the first of them and the last of them, all the humanity from the first until the last of them, from beginning to the end, if they came together, they couldn't benefit you with anything that Allah hasn't already decreed for you. And if they wanted to harm you, they couldn't harm you at all. Huh? So that if these people, the worst of them, the most evil of them, from the mayor to the governor to the king or the president or whoever, wallahi, they can't hurt anyone. If they all came together, they couldn't hurt anyone. Except that Allah has already decreed that. And they can't benefit anyone, except that Allah has already decreed that. They don't got no power to give any benefit. Allah controls everything in the heavens and the earth. And we believe that. But now we have to start thinking about it a little bit more, so that it becomes implanted in our heart. We have to understand it. We have to know what this really means, and what are its ramifications, and then we have to strive, ask Allah's help, and strive to implement it in real life. So that this whole affair is collected in these two matters, making ikhlas in your worship and in your seeking help, by cutting off your heart from the created beings, not seeking any benefit from them, nor doing any deed for their purpose, for their benefit, because that is what they want. So the person cuts off their heart from being connected to created beings, no matter whether it is from the direction of seeking benefit from the created beings, or from the direction of doing deeds for the created beings. وَيَجْعَلْ حِمَّتَهُ رَبَّهُ يَعْنِي يَجْعَلْ عَزِيمَتَهُ وَاحْتِمَامَهُ وَمَا يَعْمَلْ لِأَجْلِهِ رَبَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani this means that the person, he makes his himma, his rabb. Yani his azima, his resolve, his ihtimam, his care, his action, everything that he does is for Allah, لِأَجْلِ اللَّهِ, alone. Yani you have to make Allah the center, the focus of your attention. Yani your every care, your every hope, your resolve, and everything that you do should be for Allah alone. And it's mentioned in the supplication of the Prophet ﷺ, اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا. Do not make the dunya, yani the greatest thing, yani that we are concerned about. Nor, yani don't make the extent of our knowledge just the worldly knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that the most hated of the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the alim al-dunya wa jahil al-akhirah. Yani the person who knows everything about the dunya and is ignorant of the next life. And the person who knows everything about the world, everything that's going on in the world, the politics, economics, everything, and they don't know anything about Islam. Don't make the world the most, our greatest concern, or the extent of our knowledge, just worldly knowledge. But rather, our greatest concern should be the seeking of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ بِمُلَازِمَةِ الدُّعَى لَهُ فِي كُلِّ مَتْلُوبٍ مِنْ فَاقَةٍ وَحَاجَةٍ وَمَخَافَةٍ وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Yani, and this is by adhering to, sticking to, clinging to, supplicating to Allah for everything that is requested. مِنْ فَاقَةٍ, whether it is yani indigence, yani a person is in poverty, or hajatin, or any other kind of need that a person has, or any fear that they have, or other than that, فَلَا يَسْأَلْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Don't ask it from anyone other than Allah, and their action, الْعَمَلْ لَهُ بِكُلِّ مَحْبُوبِ, and every deed that they do, every good thing, every beloved thing, it should be only for Allah. So they don't do anything except for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. So they have combined, yani what Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah has mentioned, this is combined in what he mentioned earlier, the ayat of the Quran, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُودُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from, and the other ayats that followed, worship him alone and rely upon him alone. So don't do any deed except that you do it for Allah. And don't seek help in doing what you are doing for Allah, don't seek help in doing it except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and this is what he closes with, when Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah nabbaha ala hadha al-ma'na al-azim, after he brought to our attention this great meaning, yani that all khair, it is, yani the source of it and the foundation of it is ikhlas in worship and in seeking help, after bringing this great meaning to our mind, akkada ala hammiyati fahmihi wa amal bi. And this is our, yani we could say our theme, right, in this class, all the time, whatever book we are doing, أَكَّدَ أَحَمِّيَةَ فَحْمِهِ وَالْعَمَلْ بِهِ. Yani he, after bringing this meaning out, then he confirms the importance of understanding it and what? And acting on it. We're not just collecting knowledge so that we have collections of knowledge. But it is important to understand, and then that understanding has to be perfected and completed by acting upon it. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he confirms the importance of understanding and acting upon it by saying, وَمَنْ أَحْكَمَ هَذَا. So whoever, yani, does this well, أَحْكَمَ, yani, perfects this action of establishing the ikhlas in worship and in seeking help and aid, yani, he says what? Whoever perfects this, عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا. Yani, the Shaykh is explaining the meaning of أَحْكَمَ هَذَا, it means عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا, meaning you have to know it, you have to have knowledge of this matter, and you have to act upon it. And it's not good that a person just says, I'm going to do it, and they don't have knowledge. People are praying every day. Go to some of the masjids, you can see hundreds of people praying, but they don't know how to pray. Wallahi, they don't know how to pray. I see people every single day praying, they don't know what they're doing. All kind of strange things. If I was a person who took pictures, I'm tempted sometimes to take pictures so people could see what is really going on. But I'm afraid of taking pictures. Otherwise, I wish you could see some of the insanity that's taking place in the masjids. People are doing, but they don't have any knowledge. He said, whoever perfects this, عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا. First, by having knowledge of how to do it, what to do, when to do, and then acting upon that knowledge. Whoever perfects this, he said, فَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يُوصَفَ مَا يَعْقُبُهُ ذَلِكَ. Then you cannot describe, you cannot imagine, yani, doing this, what it will cause to follow, what will come to you. The Shaykh explains the correct meaning of this last line that I said is translated wrong. He says this is the explanation of it. لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يُوصَفَ مَا يَعْقُبُهُ ذَلِكَ يَعْنِي مَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ تُوصَفَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَالثِّمَارِ وَالْآثَارَ الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّتِي يَجْنِيهَا مِنْ أَحْكَمَ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا. Yani, you will not be able to describe the khayrat, the good, and the thimar, the fruits, and the athar al-azima, yani the things that will be the results, the effects of practicing this ikhlas, this tawheed. You'll not be able to describe all the good that will yajniha, that the person will reap, that they will harvest if they establish and perfect, yani if they do well and thoroughly this, yani implement this by knowledge, ilm, and amal, and acting upon the tawheed. And the tawfiq, the Shaykh closes by saying, وَالتَّوْفِيقُ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And success in doing what's right is in the hand of Allah alone. And He has no partner in that. There's no one else that has any role in it. Success is in the hands of Allah alone, and He has no partner. وَهُوَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى وَحْدَهُ الْمُعِينُ. And He, the Majestic and the Most High, He is alone as the one who can help. And He is alone as the Hadi ila Sirat al-Mustaqim, as the one who guides to the straight path. And we ask Allah Jalla wa Ala, by His beautiful names and His lofty characteristics, to rectify the affair of all of us. The affair of all of us. And the Shaykh, he makes a long dua here, yani, including several lengthy supplications, and I'm not going to yani hold you with the supplications, but the first of them, I just want to read it. It's a beautiful supplication. Inshallah, we'll send it to you and to the people whose emails we have on our class list. Yani, in this supplication, it's one of the beautiful supplications. Some of us memorized it together before, where he says, Allahumma aslih lana deenana alladhi huwa ismatu amrina. O Allah, rectify and make right our dunya, our deen, الَّذِي هُوَ إِسْمَةُ عَمْرِنَا. It is that which will protect and preserve the whole of our affair. This is the most important thing, that Allah, He rectify, that He makes correct our deen, because everything else is protected and preserved by our deen. وَأَصْلِحْ لَنَا دُنْيَا الَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَاشُنَا. And rectify our dunya, yani, which contains our life and our livelihood. Also, we want our worldly life to be corrected and to be upright and to be good and to be yani blessed. وَأَصْلِحْ لَنَا آخِرَتَنَا الَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَادُنَا. And make right our akhirah, our next life, yani, which contains, yani, which would determine our destination, yani, on the day of resurrection and accounting. وَجْعَلْ الْحَيَاةَ زِيَادَةً لَنَا فِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. And make life an increase for us, yani, the longer we live, make it only as an increase for us in every khair. وَالْمَوْتُ رَاحَةً لَنَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ. and make death, whenever you decide it, that it will be a means of rest for us from every evil. And then the Shaykh, and he mentions any long, long, extensive, lengthy dua. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shahadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.